Today's daf is Menachis daf Nun Dalet, and we will begin on the last line of daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. So yesterday, daf Yomi began the fifth parak of Masechtas Menachis, and the fifth parak begins with a halacha. Kol ha-menachis bois matzah, all menachis had to be matzah, meaning the breads of the Korban Mincha cannot have been chametz. If it was chametz, it was ma'akiv, and the mincha wasn't kosher. With the exception of the chametz of the Toida, some of the breads of the Toida, which were dafka brought chametz, the shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem, which was brought on Shavuos. On that note, the Gemara brings a brisa, Tan Rabban on ein machmitzin b'tapuchin, the lachmi toida that had to be chametz, and the shtei halechem which had to be chametz, you couldn't make them chametz using apples. Rather, they had to become chametz in the conventional means. So either with yeast or some other form of sourdough, but it had to be leavened in the typical conventional way. You are not allowed to use tapuchim, apples. In the name of Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, it said that he argued, and he said that you were allowed to make the lachmi toida and the shtei alechem chametz using tapuchim. Rav Kana Masa, the Rabbi Chanan ben Chad, Inanna says that he heard in the name of Rabbi Chanan ben Chad, regardless of machlokes tanoim, whether the lachmi toida and the shtei alechem could become chametz al yidei tapuchim, or cannot become chametz al yidei tapuchim. Says the Gemara, "Kaman ozlo hodet na." The Mishnah says this trumis that says tapuach shel riskoi, an apple that was crushed, unas nebetecha yisa, and was put inside dough v'chimtza, and now the dough became chametz. The dough rose. Harezu asur. The halacha is that the taruvus is going to be awesome. Now this Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, and it's discussing an apple that was truma. Truma that's nesarev with chulin creates taruvus issues. Now, as long as you have a sheer bittel, the little bit of truma would become bottled to the rest of the taruvus. The Mishnah over here is discussing whether it was enough chulin to be mevatel the little bit of truma that was inside the taruvus. Stating that, the Mishnah says that if the truma, in this case the tapuach, caused the dough to become chametz, the halach is that even if you have enough chulin to be mevatel the truma, harezu asur, the taruvus is going to be also. And the reason is because there's a klal in taruvus that if it's nicker, the dover muat, even if it's technically batel, but if it's nicker, if it's noticeable, if its impact is felt and seen, then that negates the laws of bittel. And in this case, being that the tapuach is the truma, it's the dover asur, so to speak, and it caused the dough to rise, it made this dough into chametz, thus its impact is nicker. So the halacha is that even if you have a sheer bittel, it's still going to be awesome. Says the Gemara, come on, l'chura, shouldn't this Mishnah be totally in the machlokes tanam, meaning lema Rab Chanina ben Gamliel or Rab Chanina ben Tragin, meaning isn't it a raya that something that becomes chametz al yidei tapuach is considered chametz? Because if you're going to tell me that something becomes chametz al yidei tapuach is not considered chametz, and it's for that reason that the lachmi toid understand that when neschametz al yidei tapuchim are possible to use as the respective menachos, then the halacha should be that it should be batel. Because even though the dough rose, but l'chayret, if it's not considered chametz and halacha, then why do you have this halacha that even if this is sheer bittel arezu asura? But the Gemara says no, it's not mechafilu teim rabbanon. Could be that mishnah even learning from rabbanon. Nay, the chametz gomer loyhavi nuksha miyahavi. When you learn masechtas pesachim, there's something called chametz noiksha. So regular, ordinary chametz is the chametz that if somebody eats on Pesach, he's going to be chayiv karetz. Then there's something called chametz noiksha, which is not chametz in the purest sense, that if somebody eats it on Pesach, he's going to be chayiv karas. But at the same time, it is considered chametz, so that, for example, if somebody eats it, he'll be chayiv malkus. Not karas, it's not real chametz, but it's chametz noish. Rashi says, noish is loshen re'ua. It's like an inferior type of chametz. But the bottom line is, chametz it's going to be. Tainas the Gemara, it's true that the Rabbanon hold, ein machmitzen betapuchem, that when it comes to lachmi toid and shtei halechem, if you would make them chametz, which they have to be, al yidei tapuchem, it would be pasal lemincha, and that's a raya, that chimutz al yidei tapuchem is not chimutz. All it means is that it's not the perfect chimutz. So it's possible mincha, and in the context of Pesach, you wouldn't be chayiv karis if you ate that type of chametz on Pesach. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's not chametz at all. L'may nafkimina, from a halacha standpoint, it'd be chametz noiksha. And if somebody would eat that type of chametz, again, something that became chametz al yedei tapuchim on Pesach, he would be chayiv malchus. The point is that being that everybody agrees that on some level it's chametz, albeit chametz noiksha, it's for that reason everybody agrees that if you have isa that has a tapuach, Sheriskoy, that's made up of truma, even if there's a sheer bittel connected to truma, harezu asura, the taruvus is going to be bottled, because at the end of the day, the tapuach made it chametz. I thought in halacha, did it make it chametz? I'm not sure. All it didn't do was it didn't make it into the perfect chametz. So it didn't make it chametz so that it should be kosher lemincha, wherever you need chametz. It didn't make it chametz that so you should be chayiv karis if you eat it on Pesach. But it made it chametz noiksha, and that's enough for it to be chametz to say that it's not going to be bottled. Rav Eilo said, so we discussed earlier in the Masechta that one of the avodas kashos shebe mikdash was kmitza, malika, chafina, that was not on Yom Kippur, and kmitza, says Rav Eilo, that the most difficult kmitza to do was the minchas chayte. And the reason is because the minchas chayte had two unique characteristics. Number one, layasim alei shemen, v'layitein alei levoina. There was no oil, there was no levoina. Being that there was no shemen, there was no oil, it comes out it was dry. And if it's dry, it's much more difficult to do the kmitza. So what was the hard part of doing kmitza? The hard part was you had to make sure that the kmitza filled the three fingers that were the kaimetz, but you also had to make sure that nothing protruded, because a kmitza can't be either chaser or yasser. Chaser meaning if it's missing a little bit, yasser meaning if there's a little bit too much. So the kmitza had to be perfect. You had to take your three middle fingers, scoop them, and make sure that there was nothing protruding from the sides. Now, what if there was something protruding? So the Gemara discussed how the kohen would take his thumb and his pinky and he would smoothen it out. Now, if the mincha itself is of a liquidy form, or it's at least somewhat moist, it's not so difficult to do. But a dry mincha is going to be much more difficult. Rabbi Eila said that from all the shverik kmitzos, ein locha hakasha lekmitza yoisim minchas chayte. And the reason is because it was dry. But Yitzchok bar Avdimi yoma minchas chayte megabu b'mayim b'ksher. No, the minchas chayte didn't have to be so hard. And Rabbi Yitzchok Avdimi said a very big kiddush, because even though the Torah says lo yitan ole Hashem, and that just means you cannot let it put oil, but it doesn't mean not to put any other liquid into the mincha. You could put mayim, you could put water. Oil you can't, like the Torah says. But water, maybe yeah. Reb Shimon, who's Derish time of the cross, said that why is there not allowed to be oil? This is a chayte, and we don't want the chayte's carbon to be mehudar. Okay, maybe that's a svara in shemen, in oil. Oil would make the mincha mehudar, but mayim is not going to make it mehudar. Regardless, Rav Eila said that the kmitz of the mincha's chayte was very, very difficult because it was dry. If the Torah says you can't put oil, so you can't put in anything. Rav Yisra Avdimi said, no, only oil you're not allowed to put in, but mayim you're allowed to put in. Says the Gemara, at first glance, would it be fair to say that this machloik is Rav Eila and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi isn't just a local, regional machloikis regarding the minchas chayte? Could I put water in or could I not put water in? But rather, maybe it's a global shaila. And that is the mar savar kemoy shehen misharin, umar savar likemoy shehayu misharin. And as we'll see, this machloikis right here, these two tzadim will be the topic of today's daf. So for now, let's just go through it briefly. And as we go through the daf, we'll have a better understanding of what these two tzadim are. But for now, says the Gemara, would it be fair to say that maybe the machloikis is anytime you need a shear of something? So in this case, you need a shear of kaimetz. You need a shear of a kmitza. Do you look at the shear right now, or do you look at the shear based on what it had been previously? Meaning the mincha of the minchas chayte is made up of soilus. That's what the mincha is. Now you want to go ahead and add water. Okay, but that's not the perfect mincha. The perfect mincha ordinarily has soilus, has levoina, and has shaman. In the case of minchas chayte, where there's no levoina and there's no shaman, it's made up of soilus. So when we go ahead now and we say it's okay to add water, now you have to don the shear. Make sure you had the right kaimetz. Do I look at the shear based on the way it is right now, based on the soilus and the mayim, or do I look at the shear based on what it was supposed to be? If the way I look at the shear is based on its status right now, which is made up of soilus and mayim, and the mayim somehow gets included in the shear kaimetz that I need, so then you would say that as long as this kmitza that I did is the right shear, as long as it's not chaser, it's not yasser, everything would be fine. But if the way I look at a shear is not kemoishehe, not the way they are right now, but rather lik kemoishehe, the way it was, and the mincha was before I added the water, merely silas. So it has to be a shear koimetz of only silas. And if it's missing a little bit of soilus, it's going to be chaser. Or if there's too much soilus, it's going to be yasser. So maybe that in and of itself would be a reason that I can't add water. Because once I add water, it's going to manipulate the shear of the soilus. And when we talk about a koimetz that's chaser, a koimetz that's yasser, I'm looking at it with only soilus, not with any water. So time is the Gemara, perhaps this shayla between Rav Eila and Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, whether you're allowed to add water to the Minchas Chayte, isn't just a shayla. When the Torah says no shemen, does it only mean no shemen? Or it doesn't mean I can't add any foreign object. I can't add water either. Maybe really it's totally in a much bigger shayla. It's totally in a shayla in all shiur. Again, the Gemara is going to go through other simpler applications of this shayla. But do I look at a shir kim moishehen? Or do I look at a shir as lik kim moishehen? If I look at a kim moishehen, to the extent I'm allowed to add water, then you look at the shir koimetz based on what it is right now. So as long as right now it's not chaser or yasser, it's going to be fine. So there's no reason I shouldn't be able to add water. But if I look at a lik kim moishehen, that means the shir has to be before I added the water. Before I added the water, I have to have a full koimetz of soilus. Once I add water, I'm playing around with that. That in and of itself would be a reason that it should be possible. But says the Gemara, could be everybody whole side reveal side Yitzchak bar Avdimi kimoishemeshan. You look at it based on where it is right now. So based on that, everybody should hold that it's okay to add water. What then is the machloikis? When it says that the minchas chayte had to be chareva, it means chareva dry in the sense that there's no oil. No, dry means dry. You're not allowed to have anything in it. Regardless, we mentioned over here, but derech agav. And how you look at shiurim? Do you look at a shir kim moishehen? Or do you look at a shir as lik kim moishehen? So the Gemara is going to digress now for an entire daf. It's going to take us literally onto daf nun hey. This shayla, in all shiurim, kim moishehen or lik kim moishehen? Tan hasam, we learned in a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah in Masechtes Uktzin. Basar ha egel shenitfach. If somebody had meat of an egel, shenitfach, he cooked it, and because he cooked it, the meat, the shear, the size of it expanded a little bit. It blew up. If somebody had meat of an older animal that was cooked, and when it cooked, it shrunk. So the shaila now is do I have a shear oichlin regarding tumma or not? So we know that oichlin becomes tame if it has a shear of kebeya. Ordinarily, when you talk about shiurim and oichlin, you're thinking in terms of kezias. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's bekaisevis. There's a few exceptions to it, but ordinarily, you're thinking in terms of kezias. Tumas oichlin is not bekezias. Tumas oichlin is bekebeya. Shailin the Rishonim, does that mean that oichlin can't become tummy if you have less than a beya? What about chatzi shear when it comes to tova? I've spoken a lot about that. Or does it mean that it only can't be mitame? But just to keep it simple, let's assume it means that oichlin cannot become tameh unless you have a shear of a bear. So what you had over here is you had meat that either expanded or shrunk because of some bishel, of something that you did to the meat. The question is, when I dan, does it have a shear kebeya regarding tumah? Do I look at it based on what it was before I cooked it? Or do I look at it based on the way it is right now? So it says the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in the second paragraph of Masechtas Uktzin. Pasar ha'egel shenitfach, upasar skeino shenismaich, mishtarin likim moishehen. And the question is, what's the right gears in this Mishnah? Rav, v'rab chiyo, v'rab yoichanan amri, mishtarin, the right gears in the Mishnah is kim moishim. You look at the way it is right now. If right now it's a beya, it's going to be tami tumas leichon. If right now it's not a beya, it's not going to be tami tumas leichon. Shmuel for Rav Shimon bar Rabbi for Ishlokish Ami Mishtarim likim moishim. No, you don't look at the way it is right now, but rather you look at the way it was. So if when you stuck it into the pot before you did anything to it, if it had a shear of beya, then it's going to be mitame tumas leichon. If it didn't have a shear of a beya, it's not going to be a tumas leichon. Incidentally, if you look at these names a little bit more carefully, so these were gedoyle amayroyim. You have Rav on one side, Shmuel on the other side, Rav Chiya on one side, and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe on the other side. Rav Chiya, Rav Shimon ben Rebbe are both Talmidim of Rebbe. They're both Bali Plukten Shas. And then you have Rav Yochanan on one side and Reish Lakish on the other side. Either way, so Shaila in the Gerson, this Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, is it Kim Moishehein or is it Lik Moishehein? Very big Nafkimin al-Halacha. These are diametrically opposed understandings of the Mishnah. Do you look at the way it is right now, or do you look at it the way it was previously? Of an eagle that didn't have a shear. And then you did something to it, and as a result, it expanded. And now it does have the shear. So what's the halacha? It's a brisa. Tor l'shaavar. Limafreya, when it didn't have the shear, if anything touched it, it's going to be tar. But mikanu lahaba, from the time that it was already tafach, if something touches it, it's going to be tamei. So you see clearly that you look at it, kimoy shehen, you look at the way it is right now. You don't look at it the way it was. You only look at it the way it was if you're dining with Afreya. But if you're looking at it mikanu lahaba, then you look at the way it is right now. So isn't it a mafurish araya to those shitas that hold likamoy shehen? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'kasho l'reish lakish. It's a kasha on Reish Lakish that holds the Kamoy Shehein. I don't know why Rashi only picks Reish Lakish. It's really a kasha on Shmuel and Reb Shimon Ben Rebbe and Reish Lakish. But the bottom line is, the kasha on Reish Lakish is a kasha on the Shita that holds, you look at it the way it was, the Churi. See, for me, you look at it the way it is. So the Gemara says, Midrabbanan, deals and my Ram are going to hold that really this Brisa holds, you look at it, Likamoy Shehein. And being that Likamoy Shehein, it didn't have a shear, really Midrei Raisa to be tar. The reason the Brisa says that Mikanu Lahabot, it's going to be Tameh, is only Midrabbanan. Ihachim, a Sefer, the problem is, how does it work with the Sefer? V'chein b'pigl, v'chein b'noiser. The Brisa says the same is going to be true regarding pigl and noiser. Iyam, if Bishlam Midrei Raisa, Bishlam, if we're dealing with the Dei Raisa level, Hainu Deikah, pigl and noiser. I understand pigl and noiser. And the beer in the Gemara's cash is that Pigel and Noiser both carry with them a Chiv Karis. And that's Pasha, the Gemara understands that the only time there would be a Chiv Karis for someone that eats Chavi Krisus is if he is over, he violates the Chavi Krisus on a Deiraisa level. But if somebody violates a Chavi Krisus on a Rabbana level, for that he's not going to be Chiv Karis. So if the Brisa says that this halacha is true for Pigel and Noiser, it sounds like from the Stimas HaBrisa that there'll even be Karis, which seems to suggest that we're dealing on a Deiraisa level. We're not dealing with the Rabbana level. So Bishloim, when the Brisa says Vitami Mikanu Laba, it means even Midei Raisa. Because the way you look at the shear is the way it is right now. And right now it has a shear. I don't care what was. I look at it the way it is this second, Kim Moishehein, like Rav and Rav Chia and Rav Yochanan. I understand the application to Piglan Oyser. Eli Amid Rabbana. But if you're going to tell me that really Midei Raisa, you look at the way it was, like Shmuel and Rav Shimon Ben Rebbe and Reish Lakish. But when we say Tami Mikanu Laba, we just mean midrabanan. Freit the Gemara, pigel v'noisa midrabanan. Do you have pigel v'noisa midrabanan? Do you have chorus when it comes to the rabanan? So the Gemara says, "Aim of v'chein b'tumas pigel v'chein b'tumas noisa." When the Brisa says pigel v'noisa, it doesn't mean the chi of pigel and the chi of noisa, but rather what it means is tumas pigel tumas noisa, and that's based on a mission that in the Masechtas Pesachim that says that the Chachamim will goizer tuma on noisa and on pigel. So in addition to all the sugis that you have regarding pigel and masechta zvachim and menachis, that injury to insult or insult to injury, what you also have is you also have tumah. Oh, by the way, if the kohen touches pigel, he becomes tummy. If he touches noiser, he becomes tummy. Now that tumas pigel, tumas noiser, of course, is only a drabana. And that's what the price is saying. What the price is saying is that not only if it expanded the food in to a sheer beya, is there going to be tumma midrabanan mikanu laba? You're also going to have the tumma of noiser, because if it was pigel and noiser, we're going to say that now it becomes tummy as well. Why would you think tumas pigel and tumas noiser is different than ordinary tumas noichlin? So good. I mean, I would have thought, however, tumas pigel and tumas noiser drabanan, being that the whole tumma is a fabrication of the rabbi. It's only the rabbanon. It's not a deraisa digadid. It's all the rabbanon. They're the ones that instituted this whole tumma on a deraisa level. No such thing as tumas pigel, tumas noiser. So kuli abd rabbanon le avid rabbanon. I would have thought the rabbanon weren't machmer on their own. The rabbanon kamashmalon. That's not the way it is. The bottom line is if we have a machlekes again between the gedoyli amayroyim. If something didn't have a share and now it has a share, or something had a share and now it doesn't have a share, and you want to know with regards to the tumas oichlin, a Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin. Do you look at it based on where it is right now, or do you look at it based on where it was? Some hold Kim Moishen, you look at where it is right now. Others hold Lik Moishen, you look at what was. Tainted the Gemara, have a Mefurish Abraisa. Abraisa says that if I had something that didn't have a shear, now it has a shear. So it's Tar L'Sha'avar, that's Pashit, and it's going to be Tamei Mekano Laba. Why is it Tamei Mekano Laba? Bishlam, if you look at it the way it is right now, okay, right now it has the shear. That's why it's Tamei Mekano Laba. But if you look at Lik Moishen the way it was, who cares that now it has the shear? So the Gemara says, if you hold, you look at it Kim Moishen, then it's Pashit. If you you hold Likim Ashen, you're going to have to say it's Midraban. I mentioned Neisser and Pigel, those are the Raisa Digga ideas. Tumas Neisser and Tumas Pigel, that's what it means. And those are not the Raisa Digga ideas. Toshma, I'll bring you a Raya from the next part of that price. Basar Skena, Shayabak Ashir. This is the opposite case. You had Basar Skena that had the Shir. Fitzamak, it was cooked. Because it cooked, it shrunk. And now it's Pachas Mikashir. So what's the halacha? Tame Lisha Avar, Vitahar Mikanu Laba. Lisha Avar, it's going to be Tame. But Mikanu Laba, it's going to be Tahar. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if you're going to tell me that you look at the Likam Moshehein, why is it Tahar Mikanu Laba? It had the shear. Elamai, you see, you look at it, Kim Moshehein. You don't look at it, Likam Moshehein. Here you can't tell me with the Rabbanan. If the Braisa, like in the ratio, was saying a Chumra, so then you could tell me it's a Chumra de Rabbanan. But here it's a Kula. Here you tell me that even though it had the shear, being that right now it doesn't have the shear, it's going to be tar. So Bishlam, if you look at it right now, it's wonderful. But if you look at it the way it was, then Lechura, how do you have a right then to tell me now it's going to be tar? What kind of de Rabbanan is this? Amar Rabba. So Rabba said like this, we have no choice but to narrow the machloikis between Rav, Rav Chi, and Rav Yechon on the one hand and Shmuel, Rav Shimon, Rav Rebbe, and Rish Lakish on the other hand, as follows. Kol Echad Mikar HaVebe, V'Hashtel Lesbe, anytime there was a Shir Meikar and now there's no Shir Lesbe, then Halach is, everybody agrees, that's the Raya from this last Toshma, everybody's going to agree there's no Shir Tomas Lechon. If this second there's no Shir and something touches it, there's nothing to worry about. If previously there was no shear and now there's a shear, everybody is going to agree that was the first Toshma, the Raya from the first Braisa, Midrabanan. Everyone's going to agree that Midrabanan, it's going to be Tomei. Keep Ligi, what's the machloikis? There was a shear. Vitzamak, and then it shrunk. Vichaza v'tafach, and then it expanded again. So it right now has a shear, but there was an interim time when it didn't have the shear. What's the shaila? Another yisoidi shaila. The mar savar yesh dichoy beisura, umar savar ain dichoy beisura. So we're very familiar with the concept of dichoy because it's a kachim term, and that is something that is possible to be used as a carbon. It's possible akrava, even if that psul later goes away, the carbon remains possible. It takes on a life of its own. It's what's known as dichoy. Something that was once dachoy remains forever dachoy. Now there's shailas. If something's dachoy meikara, is there a psul dachoy when it comes to balei chayim? Shma minatlas, the Gemara always says, regarding the laws of dichoy. But that's the basic gist of dichoy. That once something gets pushed away, even if later the circumstances that pushed it away no longer exist, but it doesn't matter. Once you're pushed away, you're forever pushed away. That's the concept of dichoy. Regardless, tainus the Gemara, in this case, where something had a shear for Tumas Leichlin, and now the shear went away. It's not there anymore. And now, something happened again that it suddenly does have the shear. So the shaila is, do you say that once it was nitzamek, once it was less than the shear, at that time it was dachoy, I don't care that later it was chaz v'tafach. Why? Because this dichoy, and even though we're not dealing with kachim over here, this is not a kachim, even though we're learning kachim, but this is not a kachim de gahalacha. This is halacha in the laws of Eichlin, Tumas Eichlin, and Shiurei Achila as it relates to Isuri Achila. But the point is that just like this halacha of dichoy when it comes to kachim, this halacha of dichoy when it comes to Isra as well. In other words, Yesh dichoy v'yisura. Other man holds ain dichoy v'yisura. So once it gets pushed away, I don't care. As long as right now it has a shear, that's enough to say that there's going to be a Tumas Leichon. So the shaila is not whether Kemoy Shehein or Likemoy Shehein so much as it is whether Yesh Dichoy Be'isura or Ein Dichoy Be'isura. So we completely change the nature of the fundamental principle that these Amirim were arguing about. We thought it was a Graysa Shaila. Kemoy Shehein or Likemoy Shehein? It's still a Graysa Shaila. But an under a shayla. It's not kemoshein or likemoshein, but rather what it is yesh dichoy beisura or ein dichoy beisura. Right, the Gemara. Abu mi yekel man damad yesh dichoy beisura. Is it possible to hold yesh dichoy beisura? It's true in kachim. There's a concept of dichoy by mitzvahs. You find it as well, by the way. But in terms of iser v'heter, is there anyone that holds yesh dichoy beiser v'heter? But time we learned in the Mishnah kebeya oichlin sheinichah v'cham. If somebody had a kebeya of oichlin, he put in the cham v'nis matu, and now it's less than a beya. V'chein kazayis min ames kazayis min anavelo. Ukadat dosha min asheretz. Gazayas pigle, gazayas noiser, ukazayas chelev. So you have a shear of oichel that's tame. You left it outside, and now it's shrunk. Thus, it doesn't have the shear anymore. Let's say he left it out in the rain afterwards. Now it expanded again. Now the halacha becomes tummy. What's the bottom line? You see that even though it had once shrunk, and it was once at a point where it would not have been tummy, but once it's chazav and nitvach, the halacha is you're chayav all over again. In other words, ein dichoy b'yisurim. So freak the Gemara, is it possible that the Zman Lama that holds yesh dichoy b'yisurim? I have a mufurish surprise that says ein dichoy b'yisurim, and the Gemara says tiyufta lemanda amar yesh dichoy b'yisurim tiyufta. In other words, checkmate. Zok the Gemara Toshma. I'll bring you a raiva to the original shaila. So again, we started off with a shaila of kim moishen or likim moishen. Why are we talking about this shaila of kim moishen or likim moishen? Because the Gemara brought a machlokes between Rav Eila and Rabbi Yitzchak by Rav Divi. The Minchas Chayti with the Torah says la'itin ola Hashem. Is it okay to put mayim or is it not okay to put mayim? Rav Eila said it's not okay to put mayim, and that's what Rav Eila said, that we know kmitzel was one of the avodas kasha shebe mikdash. Eilocha hakasha likmitzel yoisem minchas chayte, because the Minchas Chayti was dry. There was no oil. There was no water. There was no foreign ingredient inside the Minchas Chayti, and as a result, it was very difficult to do the kmitza. Rav Yitzchak Divi said, no, it wasn't so hard. Well, you can make it just as moist as you can make an ordinary mincha. I am not allowed to put shemen. Yeah, shemen you're not allowed to put. But you're allowed to put water. The question is, what was the shayla? So the Gemara thought, maybe the shayla is, when you dan the shir kaimitz, after adding water, would you look at the shir based on the kaimitz with the water? Or do you look at the shear based on where it was before the water? Is it kim moishein or is it likim moishein? If it's likim moishein, then adding water would create a shail of chas of yasser. As a result, the Gemara suggests that maybe that's the beer in the machlokes of Eidor B'Yitzchak Agadini. And the Gemara, in the same breath, literally on the same line, Teich Kedei Diba was mevatel. In other words, that's not what the shail is. Nothing to do with that. Could be everybody agrees, kim moishein. The question is, when it says that the mincha to be chareva, is a chareva mishemenes or a chareva mikoldover? From there, the Gemara digress. We mentioned the shail of kim moishein, likim moishein, to another application, and that is the Mishnah Masechtas Uktin, where the Mishnah actually uses the words kim moishein, and a big shail in Amiram is the girsa kim moishein or likim moishein. You have Rav and Shmuel, you have Rav Yechon Rish Lakish, you have Rav Chirish and Berebi. But the bottom line is a shaila over there, if you had oichel that needs to be kashir kebeya in order for it to be tameh, what happens if it was a kebeya and now it was nismaich, it was nitzamik, it's less than a kebeya? Or in the reverse, it was nitfach, it wasn't a kebeya, now it is. So why does that impact Tumas Leichon? The Gemara thought, very simple, kim moishein, only kim moishein. But the Gemara brought prices this way, prices that way, and the bottom line is, the Gemara said, that shaila is something else. It's a shaila of yesh dichoy b'yisura or ain dichoy b'yisura. But the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring you a riot to this shaila of kim moishein or likim moishein from a third area in halacha, and that is the halachas of maestra. Says the Mishnah, tormin te'enin al ha-groigris. You're allowed to take truma, or maestra, as we'll soon see, from te'enim, figs, a la groigris, on behalf of dried figs, but only b'minyan. Only way you're allowed to do it is based on minyan. And really, the background to this halacha, which is a tesefta in Masechtas Trumas, is that there's really three ways you can take maaser. So maaser has to be 1/10. Maaser Rishon is 1/10 of your produce, supposed to give to the Levi. Ezra, Kansa de Levim, but you're supposed to take 1/10 of your maaser and you're supposed to give it to the Levi. How exactly do you assess the 10th? So a 10th, what does a 10th mean? So it means if I have 10 apples, I have 10 figs, I take one. So there's three ways you could do it. You could do it either b'minyan, b'mida, or b'mishkal. B'mida would mean, yeah, you have 10 apples, take one, give it to the Levi. 9 for me, 1 for you. That's the way it would work. B'mida would mean that you measure. You measure the apples, and you take 1/10 of the measurement, you give it to the Levi, 9/10, you keep for yourself. B'mishkal would mean you weigh it. You would weigh it, and you would take 9/10 of what you weighed, you keep for yourself. 1/10, you'd go ahead and give away. Now, the truth is, the perfect way of doing it, Chazal said, was either b'mida or b'mishkal. B'minyan is sort of the cop-out way of doing it. But the Chachamim allowed you to do the minyan way. And the reason is because at the end of the day, the numbers are all going to be very, very similar. It should pretty much work itself out, right? Because you're always being maaser from one min on behalf of another min. It's apples to apples, right? not apples to oranges, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. And as a result, whether it's mida or whether it's mishkal or whether it's minyan, give or take, within very, very small room for error, it's going to end up being the same number anyways. So even though The perfect way of doing it, this is important to understand the sugya, is b'mido u'b'mishka. But you could do it really in one of three ways. You could do it b'minyan, b'mido u'b'mishka. Stating that, zok to toisefta in mesechtes trumas, if somebody was being toireim from te'enim on groigris. Now te'enim are figs and groigris are figs. The difference is te'enim are figs. Groigris were pressed figs. They're ready dried figs. Once you have dried figs, the figs, they shrink. Rashi says that they shrink with a ratio from 1 to 2. So if you want to look at it from a size or a weight standpoint, one regular gezinta fig is going to equal 2 groigris, 2 oiskeklapta figs. That's pretty much the way it's going to play itself out. As a result, if you're going to do the nicer b'mida u'b'mishkol, you're going to end up with issues. So think about it. If you're going to take a regular fig and you're going to be toirim on behalf of the dried figs, so for 10 dried figs, if you're using the mida or the mishkol, being that it's a 1 to 2 ratio, you're going to end up being ma'aser a half a fig. A half a fig on behalf of 10 is the wrong number. It has to be 1 on behalf of 10. It's for that reason the Chachamim said over here, you can use Mida, you can use Mishkol, what you have to use is Minyan. Oh, if you use Minyan, it's going to be fine. Why is it going to be fine? Because then it's going to be 1 fig. It doesn't matter if it's dried or if it's not dried. At the end of the day, for every 10, you're going to take off 1 and you're going to keep 9 for yourself. So Zok the Braisa, Tor Mintain and Allah Greatness, but here's the key word, Bim Minyan. Zok the Gemara Geshmak. Yeah, but Bishlam, the Kamashi, Mishar, and Shaper. Bishlam, if when it comes to all Shiurim, whether it's the Shir of the Koimets, that's how this all started, or whether it's the Shir Oichlin as it relates to Bay of Tomas Oichlin, or whether it's the Shir of fruit, as it relates to the laws of Meiser. You always look at it, Likimoshehen, the way it was, not the way it is. Then I understand the Salacha. Why, when you Torah, Te'enim ala Gregris, so you have to do it b'minyan? Because these Gregris were once regular Te'enim. And if you're going to go and use Mido Mishko, it's going to come out. You're not being Ma'asa, the proper shir. Eli Yamri Kim Moishehen. But if it's supposed to be all shirim the way they are right now, then what's the problem of doing it this way? In fact, you should have to do it b'midah b'mishkol. You shouldn't be allowed to do it b'minyan. Because if you're going to do it b'minyan, you know what's going to happen? Havalei marbe b'maisres. You could end up giving too much maiser. Because essentially, from a midah and a mishkol standpoint, which is the perfect way of being ma'asa, that's why this is important. Because the only way to understand this kasha. The real way to do it is the midah and the mishkol. So if you're going to do it now, b'minyan, it's going to be double the midah and the mishkol based on that 1 to 2 ratio. If that's the case, you're giving twice the amount of ma'asa you were supposed to give. And that's a bad thing. What do you mean? I give chaymish, right? I want to give more ma'asa. It's not so pasha. Yeah, maybe with ma'asa k'safim, tavay ala bracha, ask your local rabbi. But that's because there's no tevel implications. But when it comes to ma'asa rishon, when you're dealing with laws of tevel, misa b'dei shamayim, it's not so simple to be marbe b'maisrois. In fact, it's a braisa. Tanya, I'm marbe b'maisrois. If someone gave more than a tenth of his ma'asrois, peirois ha'mesukonim, the peirois ha'mesukon, u'masrois ha'mekukolim. But the ma'asa itself is messed up. It's mekukol. Why? The cheshem is like this. If you give more than a tenth of ma'asa, so let's say you have 10 figs, and you take off, instead of 1, you take off 1.5, or you take 2, or you take 3. So now you took off 3 figs, let's call it, right? So the 7 figs that you left are not tevel anymore, because b'chlamo sayimana. If I took off 30%, included in that is the 10% that I had to take off, so there's no issues with tevel anymore. Where you run into problems is that the 3 that you took off are not all nicer. Only one of them is nicer. And number one. Number two, the one that's nicer didn't make the other 2 that are not ma'aser not tevel anymore. Because when you were toireim, when you were ma'aser, all you were being ma'aser on behalf of was the ones that were remaining. But the ones that I took off, I never had in mind to be ma'aser for. So the nishtahina and nishtaher, they weren't left over in the kri, so that we should say that what I took off was ma'aser on its behalf. At the same time, it wasn't chamaiser on it. As a result, the ma'asers themselves are going to be tevel. If the ma'asers themselves are going to be tevel, so now I have tevel mu'urav with my ma'aser. So says the Gemara, peiroisa mesukonim, whatever's remaining is fine, but the ma'aser itself is going to be mekukol. Says the Gemara, elamaisa, this is a raya that you go kim moishehei. Because if you, it's a raya that you go lika moishehei. Because if you go kim moishehei, then it shouldn't be okay to go ahead and do it b'minyan. Because by doing it b'minyan, you're being a marbe b'maisus. Ella says the Gemara, my lika moishehei. So you're going to tell me, okay, so you have a raya for me, then it must be lika moishehei. Ima seifa, take a look at the seifa groigris al teinim. The mida, what happens if it's in the reverse case? What happens if you're taking groigris on behalf of teinim? So then you're ready, you can do a b'mida. Fake the Gemara, I'm a bishlemi kamoishehei. Bishlemi if it's kamoishehei. Shapra, you look at it the way it is right now. I got why you can use mida. Eli, yamar lekamoishehei. But if you can tell me you're supposed to look at it based on the way it was, again, you're a marbim b'maisrus. Eli says the Gemara must be hacha this toisefta mesachtes trumas b'truma gedayla skinan. It's talking not about meiser, but rather it's talking about truma gedayla. V'reisha bayin yafa b'seifa bayin yafahi. What's the difference if we're talking about truma gedayla or meiser? It's a very big difference. Meiser is 1/10. Meiser has a scientific number. Truma is chita achas peteres esakri. Truma, there's svaris of ayin yofa, there's an ayin ra, there's a concept of a benini. There's different ways of giving truma. But it's not a perfect science. Where it's a perfect science, such as meiser, so then you have issues of being marbib and meisers. Then you have to know, is it kim moishein or is it likim moishein? That's where this whole aforementioned discussion is relevant. But says the Gemara, from this brisa of the reish and the sefer together, it's muchach, that we're not talking about meiser, rather we're talking about truma, and being that we're talking about truma, there's no issues. Why does the Mishnah want me to do it one time this way, the other time the other way? What's the difference if I'm being mafresh from the tainim on the gregers or the gregers on the tainim? If there's no science to it, anyways, if it's anyways chita achas peteres asagri, says the Gemara, it's all in the realm, it's all in the world of ayin yafa. There's a concept of being tainim by ayin yafa, but en chanami. It's not something that's meikradim, but the Gemara says I hachi ema seifa. There's a seifa to that seifa. Amir Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi said, Abba hoya noitel esa groiga sheva miktaya. Who is Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi's father? Who is his Abba? The Tana Rabbi Yosi. So he says Rabbi Yosi used to take 10 groiga sheva miktaya. 10 oiske klapte gregris, altishin shebe kolkala, and he would use that for the 90 that were remaining in the kolkala. What's the kasha? Very obvious question. What's the kasha? If we're talking about truma gedayla, eser maya vidate. Why is it 1/10? The brisa itself said tarmin te'enim ala gregers. We thought tarmin means meiser. The brisa said no, it means truma. If it's meiser, it has implications to our sugya. If it's truma, then it's just a shayla v'ayin yaf. It has no real implications on our sugya. But the Gemara says that teisefta has a sefer, and the teisefta brings a meiser shahoya kachaya with an edos of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi, in the name of his father Rabbi Yosi, who's discussing the same halacha of the Mishnah, figs versus dried figs, and he's talking about a tenth. Obviously, we're dealing with meiser. So now we have to go and reassess everything we just said in light of the shayla of kim moishein or likim moishein. But the Gemara says it's not muchach. And although Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi was talking about a tenth, what he maybe meant was still truma. But not regular truma, truma's meiser. How about truma's meiser? What's truma's meiser? So after the Levi got meiserishin, he had to now take 1/10 and give it for truma's meiser. And even though his halacha was 1/10, but as we'll see now, his 1/10 is not like the meiserishin 1/10. It's much more similar to the laws of truma. The laws of truma's meiser mirror, according to some shitas, the laws of truma gedayla. When the Torah talks about truma, it says truma's chemalashin rabin, which suggests two types of trumas. Achas truma gedayla. So the pasuk was makish then truma gedayla and truma's meiser. Two chidushim regarding truma gedayla. Number one, ba'omed, you don't have to measure it mamish b'diktok. You can take your best guesstimate and give truma gedayla that way. The same is true for truma's meiser. Additionally, truma gedayla is niteles b'machshava, so to Chumas Meiser is Nitalas b'machshava. Additionally, not Chumas Gedayla b'ayin yafa, Chumas Meiser b'ayin yafa. There's a concept of, but the bottom line is, just because Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi said that Abba hoya noitel in this same case, Groigris and Te'enim Shebe Kilkala attend, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was talking about Meiserishin. He too was talking about Truma Gedayla. Thus, you can't bring any rayas, but the Gemara says it's not true. You could still bring a raya. We'll end with this. Umina, is that true? What did Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi say? So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi was being Mafish Truma Gedayla. Truma's Meiser. Not Truma Gedayla, not Meiserishin. It was Trumas Maisa. And what did he used to do? What was his minig? His minig was, Hayunaitel Esek Groig Shebe Mikzaya, Altishim Shebe Kolkola. Now, clearly, he was trying to get it 1/10. And even though it doesn't have to be 1/10, you're right, because it's Niteles Ba'ime, just like Truma Gedailis. But at the end of the day, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get it as 1/10. And what was the 10th that he was doing? He was counting. He was being mafresh at Peminyan. So Tainus the Gemara, at the end of the day, we could still be machriya the shayla. Because, I'm a bishloima, likamay shahein. Bishloima, if the way you look at the shear is the way it was, shaper, then I understand that he's taking 10 oiske klapta figs on behalf of 90 regular figs. And even though based on the mid and the mishkol, it doesn't work, but it works based on the reason he's working on the minyan is because he understood that you have to don the shear based on the way it was. So even though right now, from a mid and a mishkol standpoint, it doesn't work, but you don't look at where it is right now. You look at where it was. And once they were all Tainim Shevet Kulkala. And that's why he was doing it. But if you look at the Kamay Shehen, because the 10 that he took were already Eiskeklap. As a result, they were pressed figs. If they were pressed figs, it was half the size. So he was taking, it's like he was taking off 5 on behalf of the 90. Not 10 on behalf of the 90. Says the Gemara, isn't it at the end of the day a raya? Likimay Shehen. Yes, Rav Dimi, I'm Rabbi Loza. It's not a raya. Shani Gregris, Hayo V'yachad, the Shulk, and Lachzir, the Gemara Shehen. After this whole Amid of Gemara, yeah, where we go down this journey of laws of Meiser, and Trumas Meiser, and Truma Gedayla, the bottom line is, as it relates to the basic halacha of Kimay Shehen, or Likimay Shehen, at the end of the day, being that you could make it back, you have to work out the tchiyah, but being that you can make it back to Likim Moshehain, at the end of the day, that's why it's different. And Hanami, there is a svara, you do see from Yosi Likim Moshehain, but that's only because the Likim Moshehain was transient, or at the very least, the Likim Moshehain, the status quo was something that you could very easily undo. But when you have a Likim Moshehain that you can easily undo, over there, the halachas, the bottom line is, we had a shayl over here of Kim Moshehain, a Likim, every time you have a shir, it was once like this, and now it's like that. It was once like that, and now it's like this. Do you look at the way it was? The good old days, or do you look at it based on the way it is right now? We had 3 nafkaminas la'alacha, 3 completely different sugyas. The first one was menachas related, a shayla of the minchas chayte, could you add mayim or not? The Gemara thought maybe it's totally in the shayla. The second was Tumas Oichlan, a mishnah mesachtes uktsin, with regards to the sheer bay of Tumas Oichlan, and the third is a braisa mesachtes trumas, and that is where there's a halacha of being ma'aser, b'mida, b'mishko, b'minyin, what happens if you be ma'aser from one thing onto another thing where one shrunk, such as gregus, you have pressed figs, which are shrunken from the way it is naturally, and the other one is in its natural state. So the question is from a mida and a mishko standpoint, you can't give too little, then it's still going to be tevil. You also can't give too much, because Hamarbe ben Maestro is Peiroisa Misukanim, but Maestroisa Mikukolim, these were the 3 areas in Halacha that this impacts.